Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody.
Hello there.
Hello. Thanks for listening to another episode.
TGI Monday, y'all.
Got
another sode for your ear holes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're getting ready for the holidays. Hope you're not too chilly. Put on a sweater.
Yeah.
You might freeze out there.
You might freeze.
You might freeze out. That sounds threatening. You might freeze out there. You don't know what's outside. No one does.
Nobody's.
This episode is brought to you by the looming specter of death. It's right around the corner. You might be next.
If you can't see it, it's probably haunting you.
Yeah. Boo.
We got a great episode, ladies and gentlemen. We have one of our podcast network brothers here on
yes,
the show here.
We were terrified that you would... No, we weren't terrified. Anyway, the point is, he hosts a podcast called Terrified.
Yeah.
He's a member of a sketch comedy group called Women. You might have heard him recently on Mark Maron's podcast.
Yep.
I don't know. WTH. What the heck? With Mark Marone.
Can never remember that.
With
podcast.
Mike Maron.
Mike Maron. Yeah, that was a good episode, too. But you can listen to all those podcasts after you listen to this
one.
Yeah,
or listen to them all at once like a monster.
Yeah, split
either
them up
way,
in surround
sound get us in
podcast.
That get us in that tation,
yeah.
That rotation.
As long as iTunes gets a download, we will count it. Hopefully, also, yeah, it's a good show.
Yes.
Listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very fun show that we did. So
yeah.
You'll want to... sit back and relax and drive safe.
Yeah, just open up an ice cold cream soda, kick back, relax, put on a crock pot, and by the time it's done, you'll have learned something.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some fun facts on this.
Yeah, facts on facts on facts.
Facts on facts.
Just
hashtag,
the facts, man.
Hashtag facts three.
Hashtag triple facts.
Triple facts. Car facts.
Show me the car facts. Well, don't. I don't want to know about your certified pre-owned Nissan.
This is a great episode, so we'll get right on into it.
Mm-hmm.
So today we learn number 65 with Dave Ross.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned. Hope you guys are having a swell Monday or whatever day you're listening to this. I hope it's going well.
I hope it's going very well.
Yeah. I'm Dan.
And as usual, my name is Razzle.
Two, as in the number two. We'll
Razzle.
Say that for the end. And yeah, we got another fun-filled episode for you, full of knowledge bursting at the seams with wisdom, factoids coming out of every pore.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
So don't exfoliate just yet.
Some fun trivia for you, and our guest is very wonderful. You've heard him also. He's a network brother.
Yeah, he's on this self-same network. You've heard him on Terrified.
Network.
You've likely seen him on the internet as part of one of my favorite sketch groups right now, Women.
Recently, you've heard him on WTF.
With Mark Maron.
With Mark Maron. That noise goes off every time we say WTF.
Yeah.
Ding!
Quick, someone email me.
Man, I wish it had.
Yeah.
That would have been so great.
I know. We got a whole soundboard set up.
I'm just hearing the distance Mark's voice going, I hear you. I'm
what
here.
The fuck?
Trying to get on Nerdist.
But not the main one.
Just want to get picked up by Nerdist.
That voice. Tired of going it alone.
I think he's doing all right. I think he's doing pretty well on his own.
Yeah.
That voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, none other than Dave Ross.
What up? Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, this is cool. This is interesting to be on the other side of this table.
Yeah, how the table has turned.
Yeah. Hey, how about that?
There we go.
Yeah, normally it's plural. It's not, no, not plural.
Yeah, the table.
Yeah, plural.
Yeah,
yes.
How the tables
I confused
You're
plural
right.
with possessive there for a minute.
How my tables have turned.
How they've taken
my
their turn.
Dave, how
my
this
turn.
Tables has turned.
It's my turn. No, it's the table's turn.
I don't want to mislead people as to the amount of furniture that we're currently using.
There's one table,
actually,
three microphones.
A table and a desk.
Yeah,
a table and a desk. Aristotle's here. Yeah. I can't see Aristotle. Normally, when I do my podcast, Terrified, comes out on Fridays, Nerdist.com. I just look at Aristotle the whole time.
Yeah.
Aristotle, you need to do my show so people can know how fucked up you are. Aristotle's like a really fucked up guy.
Yeah.
Super, he's so fucked up.
Yeah, every time we come in here, he's just doing a satanic ritual.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen him, more goat blood spilled in here.
I caught him cutting himself one time, and I keep reminding him to go up the arm.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of that, but I do see him. He has this little poster of Pete Holmes that he just strokes ever so gently.
Yeah.
It just like softly beats off and cries while looking at a picture of Pete Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that too.
You made it weird, Aristotle.
Yeah, he's just trying to keep it crispy.
Is that a thing from Pete's podcast?
Yeah.
Keep it crispy? Okay.
Yeah, that's his catchphrase.
If you listen to the if you make it through the 3 hours, that's what they say.
Oh, boom. Yeah, fuck him.
That's right. Our podcast, you have to listen to several to equal 3 hours.
It's a great podcast, though. Check it out.
Yeah,
it's
it is quite
fun.
Good. Also on the Nerdist Network.
Yeah, also on the Nerdist Network.
Show enough, dude.
Yeah.
Dave, as our listeners know, and as you know, we've prefaced you, we've filled you up to speed. We've brought you up
you
to
have
speed.
Filled me up
we
to
filled
speed.
You up.
Filled you
speed.
Up with speed.
Giving you a lot of speed.
They filled me up to speed over there.
You've given him so much speed before he walked in here.
And you watched Need for Speed on Blu-ray.
Yeah. And Speed 1 and 2.
While we're talking about this, very quickly.
Yes.
This is a fact I learned years ago, though. Justin Decker, who's a great comic in L.A., he told me he was in Sweden when Speed 2 came out. and the no shit. So there are billboards everywhere, but the Swedish word for speed is fart.
No. Yeah. No. That's amazing.
Yeah, so there are billboards that say fart too.
That's
just
amazing.
Like
That's amazing.
Just with the key
just
on his
all
face.
All over Stockholm. Yeah. Stockholm's in Sweden, right? I don't know
I
shit.
Think so.
Yes.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Check. That's so funny.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty incredible.
So anyway, you filled me up to speed with the premise.
Yeah. We start off every episode.
Speedy premise.
Yes. Speedy Gonzalez. Quick draw, McGraw. What? Cartoons. Tangent here.
Yeah.
Cartoons.
Exit stage left. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Snagglepuss.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Also, pretty much the same voice as Wally Gator.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dave, we like to start off each episode with the guest providing either a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently.
Okay. So, literally, here's what I learned. This is so dark, and it's on everyone's mind, and
sure.
So I really don't want to bum everybody out.
No.
But what I learned is that Bill Cosby definitely did it, like for sure. And I've been hearing everyone talk about it, and I'd seen some stuff on the news and shit, but then I like one day I had some time, and I was like, I want to know exactly what happened. And so I sat down, and I read every account from every single woman who accused him of sexually assaulting them.
Okay.
And it's like, it's 20 at this point.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, even knowing that it was 20, I knew like 20 women are not going to lie about this. But I was like, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't actually read the information. And sure enough, it's like, oh yeah. Oh man. I suppose there could be a world, maybe, in which 20 women conspired to make Bill Cosby look bad.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, what did he do to them?
Yeah, that's some Illuminati shit right there.
Yeah,
it's a funny thing because, like, yes, I agree. I think he did it, but there's a part of me that every day, like, two more come out. It's like the more that come out and pile on, it seems like comical to me how many it is.
That's not comical, man. It's not funny.
What I mean by that is like it's
more like stupefying.
Many people are finally coming out after that. Like I think he did it. I mean, there's no he's not even commenting on it. Like comment on it. If you didn't do it, you'd be just saying how much you didn't do it instead of just saying no.
There's no doubt in my mind that he did it. It's just it's crushing a little bit because he was such a revered figure, and we were talking a little bit earlier, like, you know, he was an important figure for many of us in terms of like as a performer.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just the amount of people, the amount of allegations.
Oh,
is
staggering.
I know what you meant when you said it was comical. Yeah. I was joking that it was. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it is. It's unreal. It is crazy. It seems like a clown car type. Like, holy shit, how many? But then if you step back again and think, like, oh no, that just means that like He's psychologically fucked with like hundreds of people
over
the course of 40 years.
Yeah, and that
like that's crazy. Did you know that this is John Huck told me this? So I didn't read this, but I believe John Huck.
He's a very intelligent comedian, very funny. Look him up on the internet, John Huck.
He said he read somewhere that I believe it's Letterman. Every time Bill Cosby did Letterman, did you know this
article where the Curry thing?
Yeah. He had in his rider where every time he did Letterman, he had a like young female intern or young female staffer had to sit with him in the green room and watch him eat curry.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
I read this article on Gawker. It was a bunch of female staffers had to just sit in silence and watch him eat curry. He didn't talk to them. He didn't acknowledge them.
What?
They just sat there and watched him eat his like.
Whoa.
Whatever. Weird.
He gets off on power. Like weird power, man.
It's very, very
Some
weird.
Of those accounts from those women are fucking insane.
Yeah.
They're like having been drugged, like coming to while being fucked by him.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read one fucking... where it's like the girl was coming to and he was unzipping her pants or whatever, and that's just, I mean, gotta be terrifying.
One of the women literally isn't suing him. She's like, I don't want money. I just want the world to know that he's a rapist.
Yeah.
And I go to open mics. We all go to open mics. I open mics all week this week.
That's
comics. They're like, I don't think you did it. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, even if you, and I know a lot of it is like young comics, wanting to be edgy and shit like that. Or like, you know, you want to separate yourself by taking the contrarian opinion. Yeah. It's fine. I'm not faulting the comics.
Yeah.
It's just like hearing it.
Yeah.
I guess I am faulting the comics a little bit. Like, come on, man. Like, it's one thing if you're like taking an opinion. One guy, no shit, I was at an open mic and he goes, I don't think Ferguson's a big deal. And I was just like, what?
And there's the light.
And you know, I remember being young and being like, I want to say something fucked up or like that, like, I kind of think this, you know what I mean? I haven't really thought this through, but I'm going to say it because it doesn't matter because I'm on stage. And so it's like,
working shit out.
Those guys are, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not really that fine when you're talking about people that have just been like straight up assaulted, you know, and like they had to lie about it their whole lives. Oh, man. So
yeah,
it's a big bummer. It's a huge bummer.
And it's
first comedy album I ever listened to and had. It was the only one I had for years and years and years.
Wow. Okay.
Bill Cosby is a very funny fellow. Right. It was like a best of with like Noah was on it and the referees historical moments.
Yeah,
I don't know
I
if you know these
one.
Bits.
I know Noah. I remember Noah.
Hoof and Mouth.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And I listened to it over and over and over again.
His shit was, I mean, funny. His just
dude.
The video of him doing the drums on, I believe, the Dick Cavett show is so funny. Of him just playing drums it's so funny.
Yeah,
and it's like, God damn, like you want. It's such a bummer to watch that and realize he's, you know. At the time, you know, biggest comic, you know, making, you know, he's got I Spy making movies, and he's just knowing he's behind the scenes getting hammered or taking advantage of, you know, it's just a...
Well, and it pushes it even just a little further, the fact that he was, like, throughout his career lecturing the world on how to be a good person.
Yeah.
He's, like, getting mad at black people for being black for a while.
The whole pull up your pants thing.
Like, what a dick, man.
Jesus.
Fuck that guy. It's unreal. I saw him do stand-up last year.
Oh, wow.
I paid fucking $80 to go see that dude do stand-up in San Diego.
Yeah.
Matt Ingebretson and I went. And because we were, like, on this kick of, like, well, we want to see these people.
Before
you know, we made, like, a list.
Yeah, before you.
Radiohead is on the same list. You know what I mean?
I seen Rolling Stones last year because for the same thing.
Same reason, yeah.
I got to see him before they die regardless.
So I went. And first of all, the show was just god-awful because everyone who is, like, going to pay $80 to see a comedy show is, like, a rich old piece of shit, quite honestly. And it was I hate to say it that way, but it really, you know, like, not all rich people are pieces of shit. Not all old people are pieces of shit. But I think you know what I mean when I say a rich old piece of shit.
I got a very distinct picture.
When you're paying to see Cosby versus, you know, like, if you're paying $80 to go see CK or Bill Burr at, like, a big arena, it's a different age group of monetary expendable income.
And it was outdoors. It was outside. And the sun was up. I didn't realize that was going to be happening.
Oh,
it was in the
God.
Summer,
oh, wow.
7 fucking p.m.
Oh, wow.
God, cursing. I think, in indignance against Bill Cosby fucking fuck him. It's outside, and they cram just rows and rows of these tiny white folding chairs together, and it's just a sea of like well dressed, rich, mostly white people hammered, heckling him. I hated the audience. Also, he was like, there were some of his bits that he did where I was like, holy crap. That's 40 years of experience right there. Mm-hmm. But mostly I was like bored. He was sitting down. He did a lot of crowd work about Philadelphia. Everyone was like, yeah, you're from Philadelphia. Who cares?
Yeah,
I know you're from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Why is that so fucking important to the world that, I don't know, that's irritating to me. But here's the real kicker. I sat there watching him having paid $80 and not drinking because I couldn't afford a drink after having paid $80 in the drive down there. But it was like, man, I'd rather be watching Kyle Kinane. I'd rather be watching Rory Scovel. This is done. That's all I kept thinking. This is done. He's good at this, but this is over. He stopped progressing as far as like being an interesting person. Yeah. And I don't know why I say that now, because it doesn't even have anything to do with the fact that he is a monster.
Yeah.
But there was that. Here...
Well, it's kind of like, you know, as like a Tom Petty or Neil Young, you know, they come out with new albums and it's still, I mean, it's nothing really groundbreaking. It's very similar, you know, it's they found their thing and they're going to do their thing.
It's like, whatever. Here's the weird thing about Cosby that I didn't know. I guess he's had a fan base this whole time and he's like been doing, I don't know, something this
stand
whole
up
time.
And lectures and all sorts of stuff.
And I didn't know that. Yeah. And he has a catchphrase. And the catchphrase, so he walked out on stage, no host or anything, just like walked out.
Cold open,
by himself. It's light out.
Yeah.
He's wearing a white sweatshirt or sweater that says in alternating primary colors, "Hello, friend." And I shit you not, he said, "Hello, friend," to the audience, and then a bunch of people in the audience said "Hello, friend" back to him.
That's so weird.
It was weird, and it's creepy.
We've just missed his SiriusXM show for the last 12 years.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from at all.
Yeah,
so weird.
And he like had an extra one that he threw to someone in the crowd.
He takes his off, throws it into the crowd.
Yeah, totally. He just like jerks off.
Yeah,
on the front row.
While we're talking about famous people here. You guys know the whole Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse thing. You guys know that? The whole
I have heard
meme
this.
And joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That.
Apparently, I never knew this. Like, I knew it was a thing. Like, people make jokes about it and all that. But apparently, it originated from the Tim Burton movie Ed Wood, starring Johnny Depp and Bill Murray and Sarah Jessica Parker. There was a scene in the movie where they're reading reviews for one of Ed Wood's latest films, and one of the tags to the joke was Sarah Jessica Parker reading the review being like, "I don't really look like a horse, do I?" Then apparently that just spurned, you know, family, every animated show, making fun of her.
Man,
brutal.
Yeah. That sucks. Doesn't it suck how something like that can stick with you your whole life?
Yeah.
You know who got that the worst was Howard Dean. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, the Bjah moment.
Ruined his whole campaign.
He was having a great campaign.
He was.
Then that moment happened. Everyone's like, "Oh, you're a crazy goblin."
Yeah. Well, I mean, in their defense, the one thing that people were right about was that he gave that speech after losing a primary. I think it was Iowa he lost. And then he was like, "We're going to win." Yeah. And so, like, maybe he was a little overjoyed, but man, that was a meme forever. If that happened now, oh, dude.
It's so interesting how one little thing, you do one little thing and it can become a meme and it can ruin you.
It can ruin you.
Whatever you,
it can
you know,
just
your political.
You.
Can, exactly. Yeah.
That happens. I feel like that's most people that are famous. They have one thing that they're famous for. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, MC Hammer, he had like, it's basically just the pants, you know?
Yeah.
Just like.
That's what you think of. You don't think of his songs. You think of his clothing.
Yeah. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. who, I mean, it's
sorry. I'm sorry.
It's weird how there's that, you know, how that happens. You know, people even to this day, you know, Leo DiCaprio, people just think of Titanic.
I don't know if he's the best example because he has like so many things, and he's like currently. But do people only think of Titanic?
I don't know. There's a lot of "I'm the king of the world." People, do
yeah,
a lot of that.
I'm the king of the world. That's true. People do that. That's actually a really good point.
I think one of my favorite examples is if you guys remember that show Party Down that was on Stars a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The main character, played by Adam Scott, he was in a very successful commercial, and everywhere he went, people sort of haunted him with the catchphrase, "Are we having fun yet?" And he could not escape the shadow.
Dude, yeah, the Verizon guy.
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
Can you hear me now?
That would be so awful. The progressive lady? That's an actor.
Oh, yeah,
Flo is an actor.
Yeah.
She like wants
She was a groundling, and now she's a fucking millionaire.
Yeah.
Making bank off of that.
And I really hope for her sake that she finds a way to break out of that trap. Because I wonder, like, if you have that kind of thing on you, can you walk into an audition room and have them take you seriously? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Because it definitely is. Do you want to have a movie?
Yeah.
Where you, unless you're doing massive prosthetics or whatever, do you want? Because you know, even if she's a bit part in a in an office thing or whatever,
they're going to think of her as there's the progressive lady.
You know, that's then again, she might be completely content being the Flo progressive lady.
That's actually a good
point. That might be her. She may have set out wanting to be a commercial actor. Who knows? You know,
yeah,
and just like, she's killing it.
It's like TJ and Dave with the Sonics commercials.
Yeah, that's I mean. That's some people just want to be a working actor or actress, or in this day and age, actor. They're all, like it's politically correct to just refer to them all as actor now, right? Same with like comedian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other one for comedian? Were we
comedian? Right?
Oh, fuck. Wasn't Did people ever say that?
And I know it was a big thing in the '80s and '90s, isn't it?
Was
horrible?
It really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Like I remember reading things, with like written like reviews and stuff of people or whatever. Oh, this wonderful comedian, and it's like, why are we?
That's funny. That's I have friends that say bartendress.
Yeah, unfriend them. God damn.
Well, it's like now. It's like now it's flight attendant instead of like steward and stewardess.
Yeah,
because there it's
I say stewardess. no, for sure.
Sky
yeah.
serpent.
I say sky. Guys, sir, plain slave.
plain Jeeves.
Another. Bring me six pretzels.
Hey, butler. But I fly Spirit Airlines, and they don't do.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anything. You're their slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's hot coffee. Pour it on yourself.
That'll be $7.
Yeah.
$18.
And every movie is Paul Blart.
$15 if you want to get off the plane.
Yeah. I guess I
every
don't want to deep
plane
that.
Paul Blart. Would you like to watch the first 15 minutes of Paul Blart? That'll be $13.
It'll be $20 to not watch it.
That's so funny. Exactly.
Oh
no.
Yeah, like just slip
today
into this.
On your Spirit Airlines flight, we'll be featuring the middle 30 minutes of Paul Blart for free.
If you opt to turn off your TV, you'll need to upgrade to first class.
Yeah, first class comes with those little Clockwork Orange eye holders to keep your eyes open.
We are not going to land.
Speaking of flying here, we'll do a segue here.
Shit, man. Look at you.
Dave, if you've heard the phrase pushing the envelope, right?
Sure.
If you had to guess what that means, aside from the segue saying speaking of flying, where do you think that what do you think that means? What do you think the phrase pushing the envelope comes from?
I don't know. I'm guessing from I don't know, something in like business or finance, or like in a deal between two people, they're like, I don't wanna take the money from you, and they're like, no, come on, take it. There's money in the envelope. It's like, come on, he's pushing the envelope toward him.
Take this deal.
That's all I got.
Take this deal.
Or maybe it's like, I'm going to get this envelope in the mailbox, come hell or high water. There's a lot of...
this parcel will get to Wisconsin by
there's
Friday.
There's a lot of stuff in this envelope, and I'm going to push it hard to make sure it gets...
I can't lift it.
Yeah.
So I've got glass bone disease.
Glass bone disease really got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What is that, Unbreakable or whatever?
Yeah, it's for that Samuel L. Jackson and M. Night Shyamalan joint.
Well, I did not like that movie.
I liked it.
Wasn't your favorite?
No.
I dug it.
The phrase pushing the envelope was originally about aircraft. The flight envelope referred to the capabilities of a design in terms of airspeed, load factor, or altitude. When a plane is pushed, For instance, by diving it at high speeds, it is said to be flown outside the envelope, something considered rather dangerous. So you, when you're pushing it to the capabilities of what's expected, it's pushing the envelope.
Hey, Razzle, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
For, right. for giving me a chance. There was no way I was ever going to know that. How could I possibly...
You're America's foremost expert on aeronautics.
No, and though he did say, speaking of flight, and yeah. I was like, it's money. For sure.
Well, it all started in the movie Ed Wood.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp was like, let's push these envelopes.
I don't really look like an envelope being pushed.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pushing the envelope, yeah. There's been a lot of really excellent films this year that have pushed the envelope in terms of what we expect from a big-budget blockbuster.
Oh, my God. This should be called Segway Town.
Right? It is. It's called Two-Wheeled Scooter.
There has been worse.
Yeah. Oh, this is just not even scratching the surface.
No.
Speaking of service. Yeah. Stewardesses. Yeah. So back to the topic at hand. The top ten highest-grossing films of the year.
Yeah.
Only one of them has been an original IP. Only one of them has been not based on an existing property or a reboot or a sequel.
Really?
And do you have a guess as to what that film might be?
The top ten grossing films
top
of
ten
this
highest
year?
Grossing films of 2014 so far.
Shit, I have no idea.
Only one of them is original.
I'll give you a hint. It came out fairly recently.
The
last couple months.
Oh, okay. Interstellar.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one. The others, Transformers Age of Extinction, Guardians of the Galaxy, Maleficent, X-Men Days of Future Past, Captain America 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and Godzilla for the other nine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Man, comic books are so huge now.
I know.
So
and I'm sure this number is going to, these are going to change quickly once Hunger Games is out for another couple minutes.
Yeah.
Or The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
Part 17.
God, that movie. Is that going to be one of the top 10 grossing movies of this year?
The Hobbit, I would be
worldwide, maybe?
Surprised.
I can't believe
Hunger Games
got
for
made.
Sure. I can't believe they made three of them.
Three of them.
I was willing to...
Three. Like,
I made my peace with the fact there was going to be at least two, but then Peter Jackson's like, surprise, I did it. I made a third one.
I feel like if there were one...
Make one 3 hours.
It would have been amazing.
That's it.
Yeah, if they just did one super well.
Yeah, instead of...
And now there's going to be 20 goddamn Silmarillion movies.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like... This movie I've read has a 45-minute final battle sequence.
I'm so upset it's going to get my money.
I'm
going to
see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so upset it's going to get my money.
I'm going to steal it from the internet.
Exactly. It's like a whole day just gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There is, like, in the second movie, you guys saw it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. The Desolation of Smaug.
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 That fight scene where they're going down the river in the barrels is dope.
Yeah, that sequence is awesome.
Yeah.
It has 3D. Did you watch that in 3D?
No.
Oh, in 3D, it was so awesome.
Really?
It's like they're really on barrels.
I'm like, can we just loop this? Like, I want this to be a thing.
Yeah, make that the whole
movie. Here's the thing. Those
all
movies...
the, like, elf ninja shit, I'm like, come on, I'm just on board. Just make this the whole movie. Make a Legolas movie.
I've mentioned this before. I was talking
to... Get off, Aristotle. Get your gun off. Aristotle's laughing at me.
Don't turn on the
black light.
I've mentioned this before, but a couple years ago, I was talking to Stephen Amell, who plays
Arrow.
He's the main character on Arrow, and he did a lot of training with professional archers to get ready for that role because he wanted to do a good job. Oh. And evidently, in the professional archery community, they refer to bad on-screen archery as Legolasing it.
Really?
Because his form is evidently fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well,
archers hate Legolas.
Yeah, but
the rest of us love that blonde motherfucker.
That's funny. I love the idea that there's a group of archers sitting around like
ugh.
You know what really grinds my gears? Those Hobbit movies.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on that elf.
I mean, they're very well made and very well shot, and I love the acting, but the archery.
The craftsmanship of those Weta Workshop employees, but you call that drawing a bowstring?
God damn, their archery skills are so subpar, but man, that barrel sequence was awesome.
More barrels, fewer archings.
More barrels. This summer, more barrels.
Brought to you by Warner Brothers.
What in the holy fuck is happening downstairs?
So you know Eyes Wide Shut, right? It's like that, but for Simpsons trivia.
I see. I did not think that's what you were going to say. That's really funny. I just started picturing. So, you know, Eyes Wide Shut, right? And I just picture Chris Hardwick and Jonah Ray downstairs wearing masks.
Yep. Matt Myra on a sacrificial altar.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
Do you know that story about...
That's so funny.
There's a rumor, a story about Eyes Wide Shut that I have heard from multiple people, and I don't mind perpetuating the rumor.
Sure.
I have no idea if it's true, but I want it to be true.
Snopes.
Yeah, dog. Apparently, Harvey Keitel was first up for Tom Cruise's role in Eyes Wide Shut, and then in a scene... that was like very hot and naked, and there was a lot of touching. He just fucking blew a load on Nicole Kidman, and she was like, "I'm doing this with my husband."
Yeah,
oh,
I did not sign up for this.
Yeah,
I hope that's true.
I don't know if I hope that's true. Like, for history's sake, I hope it's true, but for Nicole Kidman's sake, I hope it's not true.
Yeah,
yeah.
Again, don't turn on a black light.
Yeah. Every time you say that, I hear Roxanne in my head. I know they say Roxanne, red light in that song.
You don't have to turn on the black light. Turn on the black light. Roxanne, turn on the black light. That's funny.
Man, Harvey Keitel. Not the last person I would want to imagine blowing a load.
I know, ever.
I would say, ever. Like, maybe the only other person I don't want to picture is, like, Mickey Rourke.
Oh, God.
Because it would just be like...
Could you imagine having
sex
with Mickey Rourke?
Dust in a tumbleweed?
Rourke? Yeah, no. Exactly. I feel like he would come a cruise missile.
Yeah. Shoot just a solid softball.
Yeah, just... just like...
Rourke!
Yeah. Mickey Rourke! Yeah, he's like a fucking Pokemon.
Mickey Rourke. It's super effective.
Mickey Rourke.
It's just like it's shooting through slow motion while the background is moving really, really fast.
Get those freak on a leash effects. Just travels through so many different. Anyway.
Honestly, that the sounds from that song are how I imagine Mickey Rourke talking.
Mickey Rourke to me, like nowadays, looks like when E.T. dressed up like a girl. Like that's what Mickey Rourke
looks absolutely,
like.
Man. He looks like a character from Brazil.
Yeah, he's perfected his cosplay. Here is a Mickey Rourke fact.
Sure,
Rourke fact. So back in 1983, Paramount had fast tracked the movie Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes,
and before Stallone was attached, before Eddie Murphy was attached, Mickey Rourke was originally supposed to play Axel Foley.
Oh, wow.
Because he had just come off of his diner performance as Boogie. He was very popular, very well received. And so he signed a holding contract for $400,000 while the studio went back and forth with writers. The script actually took 5 years to complete. Then the contract expired. He got to keep the $400K, just walked away and looked for other work.
Whoa.
So he got paid. He got paid to possibly be in the movie, but not.
And he spent that $400,000 on boxing training.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that movie with Mickey Rourke instead of Eddie Murphy?
Oh, heavens no.
Well, there's also Cobra.
I'm a businessman. Let's do some business.
That's such a different movie.
Yeah.
Cobra.
There you go.
It's gone through so many rewrites.
Rourke-a-lees.
Mickey Rourke's The Clumps.
Oh, God, that's so funny. I also like the idea that it's Mickey Rourke and it's the Mickey Rourke we're talking about that can only say his own name.
Yeah. Mickey Rourke.
All right,
what
Axel.
Am I supposed to do without my cell phone?
What about Mickey Rourke as Hodor?
Oh.
Oh, man. Wait, Hodor...
From Game of Thrones?
Oh, Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Right.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes, I do, but I forgot if it was Harry Potter or...
Hey, here's the thing. I bet Hodor could exist in both universes.
Oh, absolutely.
What was the dude in Harry Potter, the big furry dude?
Hagrid.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah.
Hagrid at least possessed the full faculties of speech,
yeah,
not just
talk.
A huge wiener.
Does Hodor have a big dick? Is that the story?
Hodor hangs some major dung on Game of Thrones. Like, he's one of, like, maybe three dung shots in the whole series.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
We've seen Hodor.
I don't remember.
Hodor is, like, bathing, and he's like, Hodor, cover up.
I don't remember that.
And he has a huge cock?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Huh. There's one other character that has like a like big dick.
A prodigious
prowess.
Wiener.
Yeah, it's
he's like
the
a
dude
Dario
Naharis. Tyrion's assistant.
Like assistant, yeah.
Podrick.
And they like
Podrick.
Prostitutes can't believe how
big is
good
he
fucks.
Yeah. He's so good at banging this like fucking squire that prostitutes insisted on not taking payment.
Yeah. That idea is funny.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what I did.
What you mean?
Oh, this old thing.
I guess I'll throw out your piss pot.
My baby arm. It's the size of Tyrion.
I'm sorry, I made everybody come.
I don't know which one to shoot. Podrick's dick or Tyrion.
Oh, man.
Game of Thrones. I can't wait for that show to come back.
Yeah, I just saw Hodor DJ. Earlier this week, I went to something called Rave of Thrones.
Dude, that sentence you just said is crazy.
Yeah, you know what?
Hodor
it was
DJ.
Crazy.
Christian Nairn or whatever?
Christian Nairn, you know, good for him finding a way to like, because, you know, his character is a weird cult following.
Yeah.
And if you're an EDM DJ, may as well capitalize on that. It was weird, like people dressed up in elaborate costume, then clearly rolling on Molly as well.
Oh. Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that doesn't surprise me that much.
Yeah.
The people who want to take drugs want to dress up.
It was like Comic Coachella.
Yeah. People probably dress up. I've never been to Coachella.
I went for the first time this past year. And
was it awful?
It was actually great. I'd been wanting to go for a while. I used to do music journalism, and it was always kind of like all the bands I wanted to see in one place. And the lineup has gotten progressively shittier over the years.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you have a press pass, or were you as like a civilian?
I had a press pass, but it didn't afford me. It wasn't like VIP. It just meant that I could go back to this tented area and get like popsicles and water.
Sure.
And like the plus side was the bathrooms in there were way cleaner.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, and water's huge.
Yeah.
It's like $6 bucks for a bottle of water.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely, it was definitely welcome, and I would probably mostly go back if I get a press pass again.
The only way I feel like I would go is if I had some form of like VIP pass or something.
But I mean,
like
it was great because like I got to see fucking Neutral Milk Hotel play, and that's something I never thought would
like,
happen.
Yeah. I'm 32 now, and I used to go to like Warped Tour every year. And
yeah,
it was so fun, and I love all that shit. But
yeah,
I'm. The older I get, the more I'm over being around that many people slammed together.
Yeah, well, I know exactly what you mean.
Being in hot weather.
The crowds could get a little overwhelming. The nice thing was that if you didn't mind not having the best view, you could go sort of towards the back and just like plop down.
Absolutely. That's
take
what
a seat.
Yeah.
Always be sitting. If you can sit down at Coachella, fucking do it. You'll be standing for the rest of your life.
Put the water down.
There was like
down.
A 20-mile-an-hour.
The water is for sitters.
There was like an intense dust storm where it turned into like Road Warrior for a minute. Everyone had to like tie like masks around their face.
That's cool.
But one of the saddest moments was when Beck was on one of the main stages, and you slowly hear him start getting drowned out by this like fucking EDM I think they're called not Dispatch, it's Discount or something. I don't know. Some giant like EDM DJ was like quiet, starting to like drown Beck out as he's playing like this tender ballad that he penned.
Deluxe, is that what you're thinking of?
No, it's not Deluxe. It's oh my god, it's gonna drive me crazy.
Deluxe is awesome. Big fan of Deluxe.
It'll come to me later. But anyway, the point I was originally making: costumes at Coachella, not really stuff that you wouldn't expect to see at any other music festival. Just a lot of like inventive outfits for ladies and like dudes with tank tops with funny things on them.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you'd run into some people that dressed up, but for the most part. You know, the biggest thing you'd see some people that had like some rave gear, like, oh, that girl has furry boots. She's definitely rolling on Molly.
Yeah.
And she's down to.
She's down to listen to jams.
That's cool. Didn't Prince play? Has he ever played Coachella?
I would imagine so. I'd say that's definitely the kind of festival he would do.
Yeah, I feel like he did one year. He's so good.
Yeah, he did. He did do Coachella.
Oh, he performed at Coachella. Yeah. Perfect, because I got a fact about Prince.
I know. That's why I was trying to corroborate that.
These fucking segues, man.
Yeah.
Seamless.
Prince, believe it or not, his real name is Prince. He was born Prince Rogers Nelson on June 7th, 1958 in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No way.
Yeah, his dad was John Nelson, and his mother was Maddie Shaw. And his father was a pianist and songwriter, and his mother was a... I rolled over that a little fast. Let me retry and pronounce that.
His father was a pianist, and his mother was a fucking shotgun.
His father was a pianist, And his mother was a songwriter and jazz singer. And he Prince was named after his father's stage name, Prince Rogers. His dad performed with a jazz group called Prince Rogers Trio.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only know of one other person, Prince Fielder, a ball player for Detroit.
Yeah, his dad, Cecil Fielder, formerly of the
Oh,
Trials.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, Cecil.
Cecil. Good old Cecil. Cecil, come on out here. How's your kid?
Great.
Oh, you mean Prince?
My little Prince.
Prince is good.
My little.
Anytime
my little
I. Duke, anytime
call
I.
Call me King.
Call me King.
It's the implication of calling your son Prince, right?
King me.
That's the Prince. I'm the King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a big dick. He has a dick almost that big.
Yeah. One day he'll inherit my dick.
Yeah. One day all of this will be yours.
Rips it up. It's yours now, son.
Pointing at your
I'm
own
on my
dick.
Deathbed.
One day you're going to sew my dick onto where your dick is, and you're going to fuck girls with my dick, son. You're
okay.
My son.
That Thanks, sounds Dad. Great, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. I'm going to be a famous musician.
I just want to study liberal arts.
I'm interested in graphic design.
And American studies.
Maybe I'll design myself a new dick.
I want, if any animator, if there's any animators out there, please animate that for us.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'll design myself a new dick.
Wouldn't that be a lark?
Man, can you Photoshop out the tip? Oh, I didn't get a circumcision when I was young, so
maybe
you could
like melting into butterflies or something.
Where's a good 3D print shop around here? Get this 3D printed. Yeah, it'd be nice if halfway up my dick could be a dragon.
Well, guys,
it's 2014. That can happen.
I gotta say, I'm glad that we're talking about dicks.
Sure.
Because did you guys know?
You drive me crazy.
That in 1931 and 32, Viking Press published four separate books by Theodore Seuss Geisel,
yes.
Gazelle, aka Dr. Seuss, Docy Seuss,
Dr. Seuss,
called The Pocket Book of Boners, which contains 22 illustrations of boners by Dr. Seuss.
Huh.
The rest of the volume consists of short jokes, humorous observations that are usually about four lines or so, and it's one of the earliest examples of Dr. Seuss's illustration style, as well as two stereotyped portrayals of minorities.
Yeah.
Huh. And here's the thing, though.
Fun fact.
Boner, not necessarily wiener, used to mean blooper or boneheaded mistake.
Oh, yeah.
There's like that, this one Batman panel that always gets floated around the internet where it's like Joker's like, wait till Bat, like, I'm going to show Batman the biggest boner he's ever seen.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, there's that old Wonder Shows and sketch, too. Did you guys watch that show?
I love it. Kids on the Beat. Kids on the Street. Beat Kids.
That's yeah.
So funny.
There's one called History's Biggest Boners.
Yeah.
And it was just like, the Holocaust. Boner. Like,
whoops.
Ooh. Harsh.
That show was there was a Wonder Shows and I think where it was like that's racist or is it racist or something and
oh the
so,
little kid
the little yeah. kid it was so funny.
Yeah
yeah they did one where that kid dressed as that what 12-year-old I guess he was
yeah
they dressed him up in like an SS uniform
yeah
and he walked around Times Square interviewing people and he asked a dude wearing a cowboy hat which one of their hats he thought represented more oppression.
Oh,
that's
God.
So funny. I remember that kid being so good because you know he had to have had an earpiece in.
Oh, for sure.
And he was so straight. Like, he played it so well.
Yeah, he just never broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always impressed. I'm always impressed by it. It could be like a shitty movie.
We should look up where that kid is.
But if, yeah, exactly. But if there's like a good child actor, I'm always I'm like, fuck, that kid was really good. This movie sucked. He was really good.
Yeah.
Another weirdly racist thing. There's an old Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie where they're on the street and there's like this
and it's
black guy.
Black Chicks.
Yeah, pretty. It could be for all intents and purposes. There's this black guy on the street playing saxophone, like busking, and they're like dancing and they're each eating a chicken wing, and then the guy like they walk up to his case and they throw chicken in his case, and the black guy's like, "What the fuck?
What?
Yeah, it's like who wrote this in? Like, oh, this will play great." Like, the little girls are just throwing in there, giving him a tip. They see another guy give a tip in there. They do something unintentionally racist.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So look that clip up if you ever just want to see two tiny little girls being
bad.
Racist on camera.
I've been telling people for years and years that they are genuinely good people, Mary-Kate and Ashley
Olsen. Oh, yeah,
Olsen,
I think
you know?
So.
Do you? I was kidding.
I think they mean garbage.
I've never met them.
They've been famous since they were babies. There's no way they're good people, right?
Yeah. Well, here I think the good one is Elizabeth Olsen.
Who's Elizabeth Olsen?
Their more talented younger sister who was in like Godzilla. She was in Old Boy. She's going to be in Avengers 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I also have never met them. I just don't care.
Purely from public image.
I do not care if my opinion is wrong. yeah. Did you find the kid from Wonder Show?
It's the blonde kid, right? That's the one I'm thinking of. Right,
I think that is the kid I'm thinking of. Trevor Hines is his name.
He was in The Love Guru. He was
really.
How old is he now? He was born in '94.
So he's 20. He's 20.
Whoa, dude,
that's messed up.
Fucking old enough.
The last thing he was in.
Well, literally.
The last thing.
I'm gonna find that kid and be like,
"What's up?
You single?
You want a party?
You want to oppress this?
I have a photoshopped dick for you to suck."
The last thing he was in.
I 3D printed it.
The last thing he was in was called Blind, and that was in 2008. So he's been out of the business for a while.
Yeah, I'll make him blind, right? Wait, in 2008? Oh, that's gross. He was like 14.
Yeah.
Look, I was joking about the being sexually attracted to that kid. All right, guys, where's your segue now? Fucking help me out.
So speaking of, super glad you brought this up.
Fun fact too about how boner used to mean blooper. Blooper, the blooper term originates from wartime censorship, and it's short for blue pencil, which was used to cross out unacceptable parts of documents and letters that, you know, they couldn't read or that were unacceptable. So they would use the blue pen, and the, there would be like a the dude's – it was his job to go through and, you know,
like, you can say this, you can't say this. Don't draw Hitler like that.
Kind of like how on like Good Morning Vietnam, they would cross out, you know, what Robin Williams could and cannot say. It was, you know, they would cross out
blooper
documents.
So that's cool.
That's the blue pencil so they would know.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, fun fact about blooper. Now, blooper just means 10 minutes after the credits, you get to watch people have some fun.
Yeah.
Dude, nothing better than bloopers.
Screw up their lines.
Well, this is interesting. The holidays are right around the corner.
Sure.
Have you guys taken care of your holiday shopping yet? Bought a gift from mom and dad?
No one's getting a gift from me this year.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely broke. So the answer is no, I have not.
Well, I have not.
Your love is the gift that keeps on giving.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah. I found this article on Mental Floss that is summing up the most popular gifts for mom and dad for the last 25 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, 1989, Caddyshack 2 on VHS.
No way.
1990, John Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory. 91, The Firm by John Grisham.
Hold on, the book or the movie?
The book in 91? I guess the movie hadn't come
out
yet.
This is for dads.
Okay.
Kids just buy their dad's movies like that? I suppose.
Why not?
I guess.
What do you buy your dad?
I don't know. Not cash. Money?
Yeah. I bought him money. Canadian money.
Oh, my God.
wallet, watch.
Yeah.
That's not the thing. Okay, so
ties.
In 91, it was the book, The Firm.
The Firm by John Grisham. 92 was a pair of Ray-Ban aviators.
Okay, of course.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Why specifically that year?
I don't know.
Was that the year that Top Gun came out?
No, Top came out in like 87, I think, right?
Huh.
1989 for mom's Chanel No. 5 perfume. Mom gets a way better deal. Dad gets Caddyshack 2. Mom gets a bottle of expensive ass perfume.
Not even Caddyshack 1. Caddyshack 2.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Man, Caddyshack 2. Was Dangerfield in Caddyshack 2? He was like the only holdover, right? Or Bill Murray, was he?
Chevy Chase was in it for a minute.
Okay.
But even Dangerfield was only in for a little bit, I think, because it was that new guy who wanted to make it the putt-putt course, right?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, Jackie Mason, Robert Stack,
Jonathan
Silverman.
Robert Stack?
Randy Quaid, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, yeah, Randy Quaid.
The Quaid.
The Quaid's before
1990 for moms, Driving Miss Daisy on VHS. 91, Time, Love, and Tenderness by Michael Bolton.
What?
Yeah.
For moms?
For moms. Moms love that shit.
Wow.
So weird.
Okay, wait, what is it? So what is it last year?
Last year for moms was a Keurig coffee maker.
Oh, okay. That's like a really great gift.
Exactly. This year it's the Apple iPhone 6. So
what?
I know.
Talk about escalation.
For dads last year, it was
Caddyshack 3.
Caddyshack 3D.
Laser disc.
A GoPro camera.
Okay. What?
Yeah, put it on your fucking golf club. So get those sweet GoPro
bits. So you can post that to YouTube. That's
to dad book.
It's so crazy. Dad tube. Yeah. It's so crazy to me that GoPro is that popular.
Yeah.
But they sell them in Target and stuff.
Yeah.
That's weird. People post that many things to YouTube.
Here's the thing, like anyone who's going on like a vacation, if anyone goes like surfing or whatever, they'll just buy one because it'll be, you know, if they have that expendable income, they're like, yeah, this is great. They'll use it three times.
I've seen people hiking. Then you have people like they'll put them on those arms and they'll like walk around Disneyland or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll do selfies with GoPros and stuff with.
It's an easier way to do home movies, I think.
I live in this world where everyone I know makes stuff, and so like I don't know anyone who would use it for anything besides
other than creating content.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, my actually
so a GoPro. People buy their dad a GoPro.
Yeah, my dad in 2013.
My dad wouldn't know what to do with the GoPro.
Yeah, I'm with my buddy Andrew Bowser. He directed a whole movie, feature film he had a chest mounted GoPro where it was pointing at the guy. So it's all that perspective. You just force perspective on this one character for the whole movie.
Called
Worm. Check it out.
Check it out.
In 2014 for dads, get him a Fitbit. Your dad's a little fat. Get him a Fitbit.
I don't know what a Fitbit is.
It's like an electronic wrist bracelet pedometer, essentially, and it syncs up with like an online profile so you can track your steps, how many calories you've burned, stuff like that. It's an exercise.
Sure.
Wearable.
Cool.
So weird. So weird how it went from
Caddyshack to VHS.
Or like even like Bon Jovi CD to like a coffee machine. Like they had coffee machines in the 90s.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah. Oh my
god. they had video cameras in the 90s.
2002 for moms was a velour sweatsuit.
Oh, that's great.
Great year to be a mom.
That's so funny.
We're probably also thinking like this is a wide swath of like ages of mothers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cuz like I think probably like some of these years it averaged out that like just more old people shit got bought.
Because
the coffee maker is what? That's something I would get my mother.
Yes.
Or even now, Caddyshack. Yeah. You know, like, I wouldn't get Caddyshack 2 for my dad, but I would get like a John Wayne movie or something.
Yeah.
You know? And a Fitbit, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But a velour, you know, that's there are 30-year-old women who have kids, and I think that we forget that.
Yeah. And that's also, you know, I guess, you know, they're in those days, you know, my grandparents would have been like 45.
Yeah.
My grandparents would have been probably 50, maybe 20 years ago, 50. So my parents would have been buying their parents blue jumpsuits.
Dude, I was at an open mic the other day, like 5 days ago, with my friend Anna Saragina. We were sitting in the back, hammered, just watching the show. And she like, you know, since we were hammered at an open mic, we were just like laughing, like just like being idiots,
you know,
because we've been doing stand up for a while, and so it's like I couldn't feel more comfortable anywhere else in the entire world. So we're like in the back of the room just being morons and being loud, and we're stopped in the middle of our conversation by a comic on stage who was like 21, saying like, yeah, my mom's like 43, and we were like, that's crazy. I like could date your mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could date your mom. That's like, I've dated people older than your mom.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about how young, like peers of ours have parents that are relatively
He is a peer. That's the thing. We were at the same open mic.
Exactly.
Performing on the same show, this dude and I.
Peers of ours.
And he's only like 10 years younger than me.
Yeah, but that 10 years
But a lot of shit happened in that decade.
Am I? Yeah. Oh, I think I just made it weird, guys.
Yeah.
All right, keep it crispy, everybody. Tune in next time.
While we wrap this up, we generally like to have like a food fact of some sort in the show here. This harkens back to I remember I used to drink a lot of this. I would my dad's aunt
Surge semen.
protein.
Just grossed up your whole podcast, guys.
Listen, our listeners love fun things.
We got some nasty listeners.
That's your catchphrase.
Yeah.
Everybody, we got some nasty listeners.
Everyone at home's like,
we nasty.
We got our
keep it nasty.
Our catchphrase is "Hello, fiends."
You made it come.
I made it come. But
you did this.
This is a fun fact about Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is obviously, for those of you that don't know, is a
Semen. Sorry.
It's so. I would almost rather drink semen. It's Hawaiian punch is so like strong.
It's sugar.
It's so pure.
It's
sugar.
Just red sugar. Yeah.
So gross nowadays, but I used to consume the shit out of it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Punch is a brand of fruit punch drinks containing 5% fruit juice, owned by Dr. Pepper Snapple Group Incorporated.
Only 5%.
Yeah, only 5%. It was created in 1934 by A.W. Leo, Tom Yates, Ralph Harrison as an ice cream topping in a converted garage in Fullerton, California.
Interesting. Sound like that like magic shell or shit?
Yeah, like you just sprinkle
like
it over.
It's like a fruit flavoring.
Kind of
like Dole Whip or whatever.
Did you ever... Dolomite. Did you ever...
not Dolomite, Dole Whip.
Did you ever take the powdered like Nestle's Quick and sprinkle it over ice cream?
No,
no,
oh, that sounds
really
great.
Oh, that's
though.
A good
very
idea.
Delicious.
Yeah,
God,
oh,
so I wasted
hey.
So much of my life.
I mean,
what are
I
we
guess
doing?
Hawaiian punch would be way better in powder over
yeah.
as like a
just
additive.
Doing some rails of
oh,
Hawaiian punch
yeah.
as an additive instead of just adding water.
A yeah,
drink. Yeah,
yeah. But it was people consumers started noticing that it. It was consumable as like a juice drink
yeah.
when they mixed it, added it to water.
And when name, did this happen?
1934. The name came from the source of the original recipe's main ingredients. It was a formulation of 7 different fruit flavors: apple, apricot, guava, orange, papaya, passion fruit, and pineapple.
Yeah. Huh.
All of which sort of give off that tropical fruit punch vibe.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Main
yeah.
ingredients, and they started making it into juice form and adding tons of
yeah, and so it's 5% juice, 95% semen.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? It's so bizarre to me to think about things being invented in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Aren't we done? Didn't we do it all? It's, you know, I was telling you before we started recording, I played racquetball today.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get back into racquetball. Big racquetball fan.
Yeah.
And in like reading up on how to score it,
yeah.
I found out that it was invented in the 50s. That's crazy.
Relatively
yeah.
new.
yeah.
Something
it's
you
weird.
Think is you
yeah.
take for granted.
That's insane. And it was like someone who was like big in the tennis community was like, I don't know, locked in a basement and like, I need to play tennis. Like, I don't know how he could have possibly done it.
I was held captive for 12 years.
Yeah.
In a gymnasium.
Joseph Sobeck is credited for inventing the modern sport of racquetball in 1950.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Yeah, it's always weird. That's one thing I love about doing this show is you come across inventions or things that you've taken for granted for so long
and
realize
crazy stuff,
they
like
were only around in the last
Play-Doh,
60 years.
Play-Doh was originally created to clean wallpaper.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You just take it for granted.
If you read about racquetball, too, the original, when they first formed it, they like people started playing it and they started an organization called the International Racquetball Association, the IRA.
They
started another IRA in the 60s, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And then in the article, if you read it, it's like, and they changed the name to the USRA or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, why'd they change it? Why was it different?
Nail bombs.
Yeah.
That would make the sport more interesting.
Really want to piss off the IRA. That's my main goal in stand-up.
Yeah, just piss off paramilitary political groups.
He causes the plot of Die Hard with a Vengeance just by doing stand-up and offending the IRA.
I was at a show the other day in the green room with Matt McCarthy and John Huck and Bronston Jones.
All redheads.
And Sean Leary.
Okay.
All funny guys.
Yeah, great funny
and
comedians.
We're all like...
Yeah. Look into
him. Yeah, totally. And we're standing there, and the producer of the show, I'm like, okay, I'll just tell you what the show is. It's a great show. Nicole Blaine is her name. She's also super funny. And she runs this great show at Westside Comedy Theater called Virgin Sacrifice.
Okay.
It's once a month.
And
it's great. The
great
premise
show.
Is like, once a month, someone who's never done stand-up before and probably will never do it again, who has agreed to try it, does their first set of stand-up after a bunch of comics who are like
seasoned
comics do a set, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, hey, guys, you should meet our virgin. And we were like, sure. And right before the woman walks in, she turns and she's like, hey, guys, just so you know, she has ties to the Russian mob. And then we were like, hi.
Hey, you're so funny.
We were like, what the fuck? And McCarthy kept bringing it up all night. Like,
of course.
What happened?
He would be the guy.
It was terrifying. Yeah. Like, of course, none of us said anything.
Yeah.
Nor would we.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. Like. What were we going to say? What did you just stop us from doing?
Yeah.
That we weren't going to...
Like, very weird. Man.
Yeah. Unless she's so touchy. Like, if somebody cuts her off, she's going home to the mob with her
You
license
give
plate
me the
up.
Light.
Yeah.
I give you your family member rolled up in carpet.
I just want to say for the record that I did not make that joke.
Yes. It's okay. I am of Russian descent, so.
Are you?
We cool. Duh.
Are you?
Yeah, Irish and Russian. Potato famines from both coasts of Europe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss.
On that note, if you're a bored Russian mobster and you're looking for some work, I got a couple lists.
Yeah.
You got some lists?
If you need some fun ideas for hand tattoos, talk to me.
Hand tattoos. Is that a big Russian?
In Russian prison tattoos? Yeah.
Right. Oh, sorry. I touched his computer. And he came everywhere.
So yeah.
And now four people in this room have come.
Yeah.
Aristotle has come like a few times.
He's always coming.
He's pantomiming spraying cum. Cum spray.
Or some sort of American sign language that we don't know. The point is,
Russian sign language.
We're approaching our time limit. Yeah. Thank you so much for being
here,
man.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
So now as part of the show, where can people find you? Where can they listen to your voice? Where can they find you on the internet? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, I am Dave to the Ross everywhere. I'm DaveToTheRoss at Dave to the Ross on Twitter. DaveToTheRoss.com is my website. And yeah, my podcast, Terrified, is also on Nerdist.
Yes, great podcast.
So just
listen to that.
Click right above where you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's on iTunes or the website, you
just
click
one
button, you'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, to the left or the right scrolling.
Yeah.
There's more of Aristotle on my show, too. We have a good time.
I love
GTs
it.
GTs with Aristotle.
GTs?
Yeah, good times.
Good. Yeah. Oh, man. You have to start a podcast, dude.
GTs
with Aristotle. GTA. Good times with Aristotle. Come on, man.
Yeah.
GTA.
Come on, dude.
Good times with Aristotle.
Hashtag GTA.
Grand Theft Stottle.
And you have a hashtag, and kids like those.
Yeah.
Kids. Oh,
all
man.
The kids, they're on there going hash to mouth, talking about it all day long.
If
it's great.
If you don't start hash that podcast, then SMH, you know?
Shake. Yeah. Can I be honest? I just found out
so
what SMH.
So much hate.
I didn't know. What is it? Wait.
Shaking my head.
That's what I thought.
SMDH is shaking my damn head.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get that.
And then you did something
cursing.
Truly reprehensible.
The one that I had to look up over and over again. I must have looked this up like 20 times.
MCM?
No, TL semicolon DR.
Oh, too long didn't read.
And I had to read about it a bunch of times.
See, I TLDR, the MCW or the whatever. I don't know if it's some people say
man
it's
crush.
Is it Man Crush Monday or Mega Crush Monday?
It's Man Crush Monday
man crush.
And Woman Crush Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah,
see,
dude.
I've seen some people are like, oh,
Throwback
Mega Crush
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Titty Twist Tuesday.
Okay, that's a thing.
Love Triple T.
Murder Your Parents Friday.
Yeah. The Menendez Brothers.
Only one group of
MPYF.
People.
MPYF.
Yeah.
Follow the Menendez Brothers Instagram account.
Dude, shit. I was at a Moth. The Moth is like a... I'm sure you guys know, but if people don't know, it's a storytelling podcast, and they also have like open sign-up story slams in LA where 10 people tell a story. It's great. Like, shitload of people go. Yeah. If you get picked, you tell a story based on a topic, right? So I was going and trying to win because there are judges judging your story. And if you win, that's a credit in the storytelling
absolutely.
Community. And and you move on in the competition. It's a big deal. So I've been trying to win for like over a year. And I'm at one and I get pulled 9th, which is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's hard to win in the first half of the show. So I'm 9th and I got like super high scores, like 9-6, 9-7, 9-8, like really, really high. And I was like, oh, I'm going to win this. It's amazing. There's only one more storyteller. There's no way he's going to beat that. And I shit you not, that dude's story that night was about how his best friend was Lyle Menendez.
No.
And Lyle Menendez, you know, confided in him a week after murdering his parents that he and his brother killed their parents and then left it up to him to tell the cops or not.
Oh, my God.
And so he was the dude that ratted out the Menendez brothers. Yeah. And the end of his story was like, I think I did the right thing, but also I sent my best friend to prison for the rest of his life. So if there's anyone in the audience who is looking to kill somebody, I want to die.
Wow.
That was his story, and he beat me. And I was like, son of a bitch. You gotta be kidding me, man.
See, if you had ties to the Russian mob, he would have known not to tell that story.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have told
That's the thing I learned today.
Just start
in the mafia.
Yeah,
join the mafia.
Have every show, have every person, every show producer tell the other comics that you have ties to the Russian mob, so don't tell your A-list material.
Yeah. It was so funny how she said it. She has ties to the Russian mob. Anyway,
and we're like, here she is.
Hold on, elaborate.
I'm so scared of her.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. Yeah, follow Dave on all those things.
At
listen
Dave,
to his podcast.
To the Ross.
Yeah.
Terrified. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
All that stuff.
And you guys can find us on the internet as well. We are at TWL Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook you just look for Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. If you want to send us an email, if you got a fact that you want us to look over, send it to todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to talk to us personally, well, guess what? You can do that as well. I'm on Twitter at osteoferocious.
And I am at my name is Razzle 2.
The number two?
The number two.
The number two. What an age we live in.
Absolutely.
And guys, thank you very much for all the kind words you've left to us
yes,
on iTunes, the ratings.
Much.
We appreciate it. All we your really Yelp reviews. It. Cobb Salad will improve, I promise
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. All your Groupon purchases.
Yes,
we
your
love
group
it.
Coops, your Living Socias.
We dig it, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys keep listening and telling your friends, because that's why we do this, and it's fun, and we love you all.
Mm-hmm.
And as always,
if you're thinking about turning on that black light, don't.
Thanks, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.